edition of the Hagman Report. Doug Hagman filling in too. Joe had to leave because of a broken pipe, but that's another story. But our guest this hour, William Ramsey, WilliamRamseyInvestigates.com. You know, what we're seeing today, everything we're seeing play out, you can, in fact, I would urge everyone to watch 9/11 and the New World Order. This was a production and directed by actually two documentaries, 9/11 and the New World Order, two documentaries by William Ramsey. WilliamRamseyInvestigates.com. He's also the author of Prophet of Evil, Aleister Crowley, 9/11 and the New World Order, Abomination, Devil Worship, and Deception in the West Memphis Three Murders. Now, he was on, not too long ago, talking about the West Memphis Three Murders. And I got to tell you something. It is amazing to me to see the overlap and the relevance. And Mr. Ramsey is going to bring this to the forefront. Everything that we're seeing, we have seen, whether it is a sports figure taking a knee during the national anthem, it's the spirit behind that that the media is not paying attention to. It's the, again, that shiny trinket that captivates everyone's attention. But it's, as again, as Greg Jackson says, it's an inch deep and a mile wide coverage, but the depth is not there. So, coming up, William Ramsey, he's an attorney, author, and researcher. He's a graduate of the University of California. Now, I'm not going to read all of his bio because it would take too long. He's got a degree in history. Mr. Ramsey also has a Juris Doctorate and is a member of the State Bar of California. He's written Prophet of Evil, as I mentioned earlier, and a number of other publications, produced, directed other documentaries. This man knows of which he speaks. I follow his work, and I've got to tell you, he knows what he's talking about, especially when we last spoke about the West Memphis Three murders. Mr. Ramsey, thanks so much for coming. Oh, and by the way, I want to thank Global Star Radio Network for carrying our program, as well as BTR, YouTube Live. But Global Star, thank you so much for interfacing this interview. Mr. Ramsey, welcome to the Hagman Report, sir. Welcome back.
Doug, thank you. Doug, thank you very much for having me back. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great to have you. Now, in light of everything, since you last were with us some time ago, and we spoke about the West Memphis Three murders, but in light of everything, I always get emails by people saying, you shouldn't ask that question. My goodness, you seem like you're so unprepared, but my goodness, we've got everything popping everywhere. I need to ask you, where do you want to start, in this conversation?
Well, I just think that bringing up the West Memphis Three is still a current event. I think it goes into satanic practices, ritual murder in the modern era, and how Hollywood and the mass media can ignore or cover up very important events in American cultural history.
Okay, all right. Well, let's refresh. Now, those people can go back and listen to Mr. Ramsey from his last appearance, but let's start out with the West Memphis Three. Give our listeners and viewers a primer of that case.
No,
because
problem.
I found it very fascinating, by the way. But
in In May 5th, 1993, three young boys went missing in the city of West Memphis, Arkansas. It's just east of the Mississippi River, across the Mississippi River from Memphis, Tennessee. So it's actually kind of a suburb of Memphis. They disappeared. There was a long search for them. They were found the next day in a kind of a ditch, a drainage ditch. Two of the boys, well, there were some pretty horrific injuries on them, but they were bound in a strange way from their ankles to their wrists. And later, investigations and autopsy indicated that two of the boys were drowned. They actually were alive before they were thrown in the water. So it was a pretty brutal scene. And about a month later, three young men, local men who lived in that area, West Memphis, were arrested. It was Damian Echols, Jason Baldwin, and Jesse Miskelly. And they were brought to trial, and they were found guilty in the following year, in 1994. All three, there were actually two separate juries, one trial for Jesse Miskelly and another trial for Baldwin and Echols. They were found guilty. Damian Eccles was given a death sentence. He was over 18. The other two were given pretty long sentences. And that case, locally at that time, it was believed to be a ritual-type murder. And there were all kinds of trappings of ritual-type things involved, especially with Damian Eccles, who on the stand during his trial was asked about Aleister Crowley. What do you know about Aleister Crowley? And he responded with kind of a sentence that said he believed that Aleister Crowley thought of himself as a god. And that really was what piqued my interest in the case, was Aleister Crowley. My first book, Prophet of Evil, was about Crowley. So that's why I looked into the case. The case took on kind of strange turns. There was an HBO documentary. It was called Paradise Lost, and that came out in 1996. And then there were two following ones, so there was a trilogy of documentaries put out by HBO. And the first one kind of made pretty much the point that, and it made it look like Eccles and Baldwin were, and Miss Kelly were guilty, but the second and the third, the second one kind of put the onus upon a stepfather, a guy by the name of Byers, and the third one made another stepfather by the name of Terry Hobbs kind of look guilty. So this kind of changed public perception, and public perception perception towards the innocence of Damian Eccles, and it became a cause célèbre. It became something where celebrities got involved. And that was one of the astonishing aspects of the case, is so many well-known figures came out publicly and sided with Damian Eccles, Jason Baldwin, and Jesse Miss Kelly. And some of them were Johnny Depp. Everybody knows him. Natalie Maines of the Dixie Chicks. Eddie Vedder. Margaret Cho, supposedly a comedian. Henry Rollins. So all these figures kind of came out and publicized and raised money. And there was a tremendous amount of money that was raised. It was estimated to be around $10 to $20 million. And as this kind of sympathy for these convicted murderers grew, they were able to raise this money and obtain some of the best attorneys in the United States, a really excellent appellate attorney by the name of Dennis Reardon, and also obtain the services of a public relations firm out of New York, a guy by the name of Lonnie Sowry, S-O-U-R-Y, but so they had this public relations that actually kind of snowballed with this innocent stuff, and it led to, through some kind of legal maneuvers, to their release, to the release of these three. They actually pled guilty again in August of 2011, and they were let out of jail, and the public perception was they were innocent, that there wasn't any Satanism involved. It was part of this, quote, satanic panic movement where the satanic acts really aren't occurring. So that was kind of the way that it was.
By the way, If I can say this, this is where you shine in this. I mean, I believe, but go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt your train of thought.
Well,
but
no worries. No problem. So they got out. They all kind of separated. Damian Eccles went to Salem, in Massachusetts, the place of the witch trials, which was a strange choice, but he publicly stated that he moved there because he could sympathize with the witch hunts of the Salem witch trials, which is an interesting thing, assuming that he wasn't. I mean, that's kind of like assuming you are a witch, I guess. But he ended up in Salem. Jason Baldwin ended up on the West Coast, and Jesse Miss Kelly stayed somewhere around the environs of West Memphis. But they've all professed, publicly stated that they're innocent. And my interest in the case was I was able to kind of go back through all of the documents from the trials and all the police reports and everything that's compiled at Callahan 8K. So I was able to read all of the court transcripts. And through the transcripts, it's an incredible difference than what the PR and public statements about these guys' innocence. There's all types of references to Satanism and occultism, Aleister Crowley. There is a 500-page exhibit detailing the psych records of Damian Eccles. And so the tide has kind of changed. There's a lot of people interested in the case, but you know, that's kind of the general background. Damian Eccles has decided to tattoo his whole body with Enochian magical symbols and sigils and alphabet from the witch's alphabet called the Theban alphabet. He has a huge black sun on his back, which is kind of ties back to Nazi iconography and even before the Nazis. But he's actually turning his... And he's actually a practicing ceremonial magician. He's actually giving classes and traveling around the United States to main cities in Chicago, New York, and giving classes for, I think, I don't know what he's charging, $200 a pop or something. So he's still actively involved in magic, and he's actually has stated he's starting a Kickstarter to create a magical encyclopedia. And he stated publicly he wanted to be the greatest magician that ever lived. So he has a kind of occult ambitions. But what really happened recently within the last month was there was a guy in Arkansas. His name was Robert Horn, and he was basically a storage unit buyer. He was one of these kind of storage locker guys, and he came across one storage unit. He didn't really know anything about the West Memphis 3, but what he discovered is that this storage unit belonged to Damian Echols and his wife, Lori Davis, and it had all of these materials, personal legal documents, journals, pictures, and tons of occult books. And after he purchased that, and that became public, another guy came to him a couple weeks later and said, I have another storage unit of theirs. And Robert Horn purchased that storage unit, so he had two total storage units. And he said he had upwards of 2,500 books, occult books mostly, a lot of stuff by Crowley, stuff about moon magic, things that he didn't really understand. But the documents were incredible because there's an admission in a journal by Damian Echols that he says that he's not the worshiper of the devil, that he is the devil, capital D. And it's a remarkable statement because it flies in the face of all of this public talk saying that occultism was not involved in these cases. And also the presence of all of that, this kind of encyclopedia of occult books also shows his interest is not as a mere dabbler, but as somebody who is a devoted student of the kind of dark arts. So it was actually publicly, wow, it was put out in Arkansas, this case. Robert Horn was interviewed, and it's really remarkable. And he started selling these books on eBay and things like that. But and there's fetish material in the dock, in the plate, in the storage locker too. So it got kind of creepy.
And you know, as anytime you look at things, for example, like Pizzagate, which is, I believe, is the most improperly named scandal, criminal activity out there. But when you start looking at this and you see the satanic overlap, potential, and I would assert actual, especially given the content of some of the images and some of the relationships. But when you look at this,
yeah, I agree.
And, you know, and then you kind of back up and you look at the crime, the West Memphis 3 murders. You're, as a lawyer, as someone experience in the field, are we not seeing the same template, the same or similar template, you know, playing out here?
Yeah, I do. Yes, and as far as public relations and how the media is handling it, definitely.
Yeah. Okay. It's just, and I find this, and against the satanic panic, which I just found extremely disingenuous. The more I researched that. In my investigative capacity, the more I found that, man, there were so many. It was difficult to tell the good guys from the bad as you got into all of that, and the lies from the truth. I mean, it was deliberately muddled. All of this was muddled, and it even extends through today. So, but this kind of gives us a great foundation from your last appearance, and a foundation for basically everything we're seeing today. And now you wrote a book specifically about this, correct?
Correct. Or, it's Abomination, Devil Worship, correct, and Deception in the West Memphis 3 Murders. So I tried to show that there was both outright lying about the case and occultism or devil worship involved here.
Okay. All right. And I asked that, of course, sheepishly, knowing, of course, I've got the copy of the book right here in front of me, Abomination. I would urge people to read that book for the backdrop of what we're seeing. So let's take this, again, take it wherever the natural course of events that you see taking place or have taken place, take it now to the next step and wherever you want. You've got free rein to direct this, because I would look at this of you being in a courtroom and giving us a presentation. So, and we're the jury, but go ahead, sir.
Well, I would say that this is a smaller, the West Memphis 3 case is a smaller example of a broader social movement that's taking place, which is really the rise of occultism and the inability or disinterest of the media of actually properly dealing with it. And we kind of saw the same thing. It goes back to, you know, the McMartin trial, where the Ray Buckey actually had Crowley-like hoods and stuff like that, which was totally ignored, which he admitted in trial that he wore, all kinds of magical implements. So you kind of see the same thing in this case, Pizzagate, which the mass media didn't even touch, which, you know, I can prove there's tons of occultism involved in that Comic Ping Pong environment and all those people. And some people have speculated that Comic Ping Pong, that building, was an occult center. That it wasn't just that that pizza place was just a front for all kinds of occult activities. And I've seen things that justify that, you know, this,
To what extent do you want to talk about that? Because I'm willing to go there if you are, well, because I think that's still relevant.
I do too. I absolutely think it's still relevant. I think it's very, I think that the cover up is telling, is so telling. It's very similar to this case where you wonder really what's going on. One of the weird tie ins is that the Damien Echols' final attorney, Stephen Braga, came out of D.C., which is very strange. The fact that he got an attorney all the way from the, you know, away from Arkansas, but the center of power in D.C., and there it ties into all these attorneys that are tied into Pizzagate, which is weird. But I think Pizzagate is happening. There's all kinds of strange things happening in Portland as well. Some of these civic centers definitely are going on. And we know for a fact that Damien Echols was a member of the OTO. Crowley headed the Ordo Templi Orientis from 1925 till his death in 1947. And there's an OTO chapter in Arkansas that received some of Damien Echols' books. They actually have a library at that chapter called the Damien Echols Library. So, and he was a member back then, confirmed member of the OTO. I'm not sure what his connection is, but he's also been seen after he got out of jail in 2011. There's a picture of him with a really hardcore old line occultist by the name of Genesis P. Orge, who is transforming his body into kind of a man woman, where he's actually had surgeries. He's this really strange bird and has been affiliated with Crowley and the Process Church of the Final Judgment. But there's seeing Damien Echols with him is, shows these guys are, you know, in cahoots. They're basically meeting each other. And they were actually in a movie together, Damien Echols and Genesis P. Orge. You can see this, the clip from that movie at my YouTube channel, William Ramsey Investigates. But if you want to see network Satanism in front of your face, you can see that. So as far as Pizzagate's connection to West Memphis 3, there definitely is an MO connection where there's a massive cover-up, you know, in my opinion.
Yeah, and I agree. And it's the way that this whole the email and how that developed, you know, with Marina Abramovic, her art, or I don't even want to call it art. I suppose it's ceremonial occultist.
Ceremonial magic, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And the media's refusal to even go there or to even investigate that, it, to me, is irresponsible. And it really colors the, well, it affects the investigation itself. And the principles involved in this, too, I believe, and you know, as an attorney and as someone who understands all of this, are we not seeing people essentially getting away with murder and pedophilia and murder unproven, of course, but pedophilia and such? I mean, no one's chasing after these people. No one's, or I shouldn't say no one. There are people, there are groups. You know, Craig Sawyer, the Sawman, and us, our investigative team, and such, but very few are really willing to go after these.
I agree. Exposings. I mean, I think it's pretty disturbing. I think that the fact that there's no investigation, I think that on the surface of what happened in those emails, which Hillary Clinton is going around in public saying that they're anodyne, it's interesting that she's repeated that term about the emails that came out of WikiLeaks, the John Podesta email. She keeps repeating that they're anodyne, which is a strange term because it's a word that, at least for me, I'd have to look it up in the dictionary, but it's a word that means inoffensive. And when I read those emails, they were the opposite of inoffensive. They're extremely offensive with the spirit cooking and all like that. But you see, that's part of the cover-up. She's part of the cover-up, in my opinion. Yeah, Hillary Clinton's a part. All her friends are involved, yeah.
And it's funny you mention that word, because I heard that for the first time, at least consciously for the first time, when I was going through some Judicial Watch material of the emails, and I heard, it was on a video, and I heard that this past weekend, and I'm thinking, I had to look that up.
Was it because she said it? Was it something that she had said publicly or in a written, where did you find the word?
Either it was on a YouTube, it was either in response to, I'm I'm trying to think, because I saw so much about this. It was either in a text of some. She was quoted in either on YouTube or text. And it was, I think it was right after the election, or right after the release of the emails. But nonetheless, I thought, when I have to look up a word, not that I'm that intelligent, but I got a pretty good grasp on the English language, and I just thought, man, that's. Where'd that
it's a
come
strange
from?
Word, isn't it? Like, why didn't you just say inoffensive?
Exactly.
Because it's like, it's a skilled talking point that she had memorized and used. I'd seen it used by her in three different contexts. So she clearly is repeating. Yeah. So she's repeating it in different places about her book. I've been following her kind of crazed, talks about how she lost the election and all these different things. And we're lucky she didn't become president. I got to tell you, it's not just because of the strange the friends she has, John Podesta, et al., but I don't think she's well. I mean, honest to God, I don't think she's well.
No, I agree with you there in a number of ways. I mean, physically, I don't believe she's well. Obviously, we saw that on 9/11 2016, and then subsequent to that, and of course, that weird head bob thing with the. She caused.
That was incredible.
I mean, I've been around. I mean, I spent almost six decades of my life on this planet. I've been involved in EMS for 5 years. Investigator for 30. I got to tell you, I've never seen anything like that. But that's just me.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So okay.
Now, one of the interesting things about her, if I can make another point, is she's trying to turn herself into a Christian now, which is remarkable. That something that she didn't talk about prior to her loss was. You know, anything referring to the Christian religion. And now she's got some pastor who's calling her a great Christian. She's talking about Christian references to certain people that go out into the media. Or the pastor, I think the guy that she had got busted for plagiarism. So he's probably a perfect cohort for her. But I can't remember his name right now. But I think it's fascinating. And that's probably one of the reasons why she lost is the Christians keyed into the occultism said we can't let her in the White House. And exactly. So I see her change her stripes. I mean, try to change her stripes. It's, for me, remarkable.
Folks, we're talking with William Ramsey. And if you're watching this live via YouTube, his website is up, WilliamRamseyInvestigates.com. I would urge everyone to visit the site and follow his work, as well as his book, Abomination. That about the West Memphis 3 murders, a lot of information there. And of course, he's an attorney, author, researcher, and such, graduate of University of California, Berkeley, with a degree in history, knows of that of which he speaks. And very interesting. And this kind of, ladies and gentlemen, this really overlaps with what Russ Dizdar does and talks about, and what Craig Sawyer does and talks about to the extent of, or that involves pedophilia and some of the child exploitation. And of course the current issues with the Hillary emails. We've got about 2 minutes at the bottom of the hour break. Attorney Ramsey, do you believe? And I want to ask this question. When I knew you were coming on today, I really had to get your take on this. Do you believe we're not seeing any movement on the email investigation of Hillary Clinton, or to what extent do you believe that this topic? Has, if any at all, and feel free to say none, but on the prosecution or at least the additional investigation into the email scandal, criminal activity, does this play a role in it, do you think?
Occultism?
Yeah.
Definitely believe occultism. I can tell you for a fact, I've seen occult symbols that are affiliated with some of the videos that were shot in Comic Ping Pong, like a smiley face and things on the Instagram. That reference, incredible. I mean, it's just amazing. Like, there are things that I understand that I don't think some of the researchers keyed into, but the smiley face symbols in some of those videos are remarkable, and some of the people, Father John Pride or something like that, some other process type name. But I definitely think the occult, and I definitely think there's a lot of blackmail involved. One of the interesting pictures that I found during my research is that Barney Frank is pals with Alefantis and David Brock. And Alefantis and David Brock, for people who don't know, is the head of Media Matters, who was the chief arm of Hillary Clinton's propaganda strategy for her online presence. And Media Matters guys were paid to pretty much contradict any negative information that was on YouTube, on chat boards or anything like that. But David Brock and David Alefantis were friends who had after parties, which is also very sketchy and incredible, which I found in my research, these after parties that take place after 2 a.m. And those are rumored to be where the blackmail takes place. But the fact that Barney Frank is friends with them, because Barney Frank and his boyfriend, and all these guys are homosexuals, but Barney Frank and his boyfriend are known to run a homosexual call ring out of, I think it was somewhere in Boston. And when Barney Frank was almost prosecuted, he said, "You can't prosecute me because I can bring up all the people who've used the services." And he was never prosecuted, and he's still a congressman. I think he's still in Congress. So I do think that there's a tie-in between Frank, who was probably not spoken of in the context of Pizzagate or, you know, this whole Alefantis-Brock thing, but I think it's an important aspect because these guys were partying together, all going to Rehoboth. You know, basically, when you live in D.C. and go to the beach, you go to Delaware, Rehoboth, these kind of beach cities. And there there's pictures of them cavorting, you know, pretty smiling and happy, you know, Brock and Frank. Mm. So I think that the blackmail aspect of Pizzagate is largely, and those operations are probably part of the reason why they're doing all that stuff, is to blackmail people and put them under their thumbs. You know, I think that's probably a large aspect of it.
All right. We're going to pick this up on the other side of the network break. 3 minutes network break. Global Star Radio Network. I want to welcome all the listeners there. My goodness, people checking in from the UK, Australia, and many other places in between, as well as Canada, all across the United States. Global Star, thank you so much. BTR, thank you, as well as YouTube Live. Give us 3 minutes. We're going to be back with our guest, William Ramsey. Incredible information. We'll pick it up on the other side. 3 minutes.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back.
There shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. No, nor ever shall be.
Folks, I'm going to direct your attention to MasterPreps.com. MasterPreps.com. Wow. MasterPreps.com, the sponsor of our show, MasterPreps.com. That's MasterPreps.com. Take a visit there. High-quality items, made-in-America items. I mean, anything, everything you possibly want, from cooking utensils, cooking frying pans. It'll blow you away. Absolutely, Erickson.
It's insane. I mean, wow. Look at the products.
Folks, visit MasterPreps.com. Again, welcome to the Hagman Report family. MasterPreps.com. I mean, wow. It's insane.
MasterPreps.com. Are you ready for what comes next?
Hi, I'm Grace Gonzalez from Caring Close in the Woods. We are an American family-owned company founded and built on skills and knowledge gained from responding to 18 major disasters in the U.S. and around the world. We found that most people don't have enough food and water to survive, let alone any medicinals to save their life. We are offering 25% off our must-have American Heritage Armies kit. It contains 12 homeopathic armies, a booklet that goes over everything in your kit, and our brand new book, Major Disasters Lessons Learned. Just enter coupon code HAGMAN. In life or a disaster, you must be able to take care of yourself. You may not be a medical doctor, and your grandmother and your great-grandmother probably weren't either, but they still knew how to minister to their family's health issues, and so can you. Check out our American Heritage Armies kit at www.changelessonwoods.com. Your life may depend on it.
Hello, everyone. This is Joe Charles, the guy whose voice is heard announcing for the Hagman and Hagman Report right here on YouTube and across the Global Star Radio Network. There have been many people wondering whose music is being played during those breaks. Well, you guessed it. And we're very pleased to announce that all that music and 11 brand new songs from the CD New Jerusalem is set for release on April 10th for download on iTunes. That means you can help support my ministry and be blessed by this awesome, inspiring recording. I have been fortunate to work with some phenomenal musicians from around the world that helped us put this recording together in the studio. Simply go to joecharlesmusic.com and click on the iTunes link. Or, if you'd rather have a CD, we'll send one right out to you. Just leave me your email and we'll get right back to you. And thanks to Doug and Joe Hagman for making this all possible. God bless.
Hey, welcome back to the Hagman Report. William Ramsey is our guest. WilliamRamseyInvestigates.com. If you go to his Amazon page, he's got a number of books there. Of course, Children of the Beast, Aleister Crowley's Shadow Over Humanity, that by William Ramsey, as well as Prophet of Evil, and Aleister Crowley, 9/11 and the New World Order. And, of course, we were talking about the book Abomination, Devil Worship and Deception in the West Memphis 3 murders. Very interesting and extremely timely, especially today, and, of course, the visual study. But one of the things that I just find fascinating, and we're getting a lot of email questions, saying, ask him this, ask him that. A lot of interest, Mr. Ramsey, about your observations on the totality of evidence, or your observations with respect to Comet Ping Pong and how that was, what was going on there. Now, to the extent that you feel that comfortable, or if you'd like to head in a completely different direction, that's fine with me. But a lot of people
whatever
are interested.
Like. I'm easy.
Well, you know, yeah, and I am too. So, you know, I think from the beginning, Comet Ping Pong, the Pizzagate thing was misrepresented, and I do believe, being on InfoWars and talking with Alex Jones, both in camera and in front of the camera and behind the camera, you know, it's kind of a minefield when you start talking about this legally and otherwise. But I guess to sum up the roughly page of questions I've got, I'm looking at about that. What should we know, or what can you tell us, or what should the American public know about what is known as Pizzagate? Kind of like a summation to a jury. What should we be told, and what should we know? If that's a fair question.
Well, it's fair. I think that based upon the evidence and all the information that was surrounding these people, there an investigation was merited by resources of the government. So I think that that's the most important thing. I think that there were all kinds of sketchy emails and relationships and Instagram pictures that I think in any other circumstance, if it was outside of D.C., something would have brought in either, you know, Child Protective Services or some type of government agency to start asking questions. Who are these people? Who are these kids? You know, what is going on? What are these meanings? You know, and do some type of investigation. So I think that for me, is like the biggest problem with Pizzagate, is that nothing happened. And then it kind of begs the question, why did nothing happen? And I think that, unfortunately, the legal system, in a way, is compromised by political resources and power players, where things won't get prosecuted and things will get prosecuted based upon individual connections and party politics. So I think that's unfortunate.
And it's all, and really, it's at that level of government or the people around government or inside the Beltway. It's all about compromise. It's all about being compromised, either wittingly or unwittingly, or I don't know how you would, any rational person would not believe they're not being surveilled or documented by their actions, but.
Well, here's another thing. There's another something that's probably connected, or something Pizzagate, but also the Jeffrey Epstein case, where you know, people are getting on planes and there's all kinds of pedophilia. He's been busted for pedophilia. He got a slap on the hand, and that case is still going on. There's still a case involving Ghislaine Maxwell, and she's a fascinating figure. And that's another person that I think investigators have not done a proper inquiry into, because her dad was Robert Maxwell, a suspected Mossad asset who was killed by the Mossad for trying to, you know, strong arm him. And it's fascinating that she's involved in an American case involving probable blackmail and pedophilia. So Ghislaine Maxwell is a very important figure. And all the people in the UK, people in the UK know Robert Maxwell, but people in the US don't, because he was a scoundrel too. Very talented guy, but I think he went to jail for looting pension funds associated with a company there. He was kind of like a financial swindler. But the fact that that's his daughter merits an investigation by anybody in journalism, which I haven't seen yet.
So
Ghislaine Maxwell.
Ghislaine Maxwell. Okay. And
funny name, G-H-I-L-A-S-N-E, I think.
Okay. And it, for those of us not really up on this part of it, how does she fit in, aside from being Robert's daughter?
She was heavily involved with Epstein. So she was kind of his right-hand man. She was suspected of being a handler for some of these young girls. And there's pictures of her with Trump. But she's smiling in a lot of these background pictures. Ghislaine Maxwell, yeah.
All right, she's a British socialite and youngest child of Robert Maxwell, the publisher. I got it.
There are deeper things going on there. There's some good books about the death of Robert Maxwell and how he died on his boat in a very suspicious manner. Supposedly drowned off his yacht. So, yeah, but that's really something else. The connection to him is really something else.
No, I have to go back to the Clintons, given the number of Lolita flights, you know, on Epstein's plane.
Right.
Both Hillary and Bill, many might be surprised about Hillary. Okay. So, yeah, all of this. Go on.
Yeah, it all rolls in. So compromise, pedophilia, underage kids with powerful people. You know, it's very, I mean, that was in the Lozado kids or whatever in the Podesta emails, you know? Creepy hot tub email. So, yeah, it's going from different angles. It's there in different angles, you know?
So we're not, and this is just to reassure people who are looking at this and who have fallen for the stuff by the mainstream media, that we're you know, seeing things that aren't there, you know, reading tea leaves. There is actionable evidence or intelligence, in your view, within the emails that would strongly suggest this occult pedophilia, etc.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah. Right. I mean, those spirit cooking and Marina Abramovich is really. I've heard that she has Crowley's universal hexagram on some of the literature she hands out, and that's actually a tattoo on Damien Echols. I think it's on one of his arms. You know, so the connections are there. Her and Lady Gaga, the whole eating the human cakes. You know, so. Once you kind of see some of the occult traps, you can see them in other instances. So you see kind of Crowley, and the Crowley is really probably the number one black magician that involved all these strange, weird rituals, you know?
And I would consider you one of the foremost experts on Crowley. I don't know. Is that okay? I mean, would you agree with that? Because you've done so much research.
Yeah, I'm close to being an expert. There's a couple of things I need to see, but I've actually gone through some of the private specialty collections at UCLA, UC Berkeley. I was in Austin has a repository of a lot of Crowley materials. So I've definitely taken time out to see documents and artifacts of Crowley's that, you know, the public doesn't have. Granted, they're private collections like Jimmy Page's that are massive repositories of Crowley's robes, books, etc.
Jimmy Page, interesting character as well, but I've got two different emails. One from the UK, where Robert is listening live from the UK. No, not the ghost of Robert Maxwell, but Robert from the UK, and also Sandy from Kansas, both asking about the image, asking me to ask you about the image of John Podesta, the two hands up, the crooked fingers, and the obvious scarring, along with the images on his palms. So I figured I'd let me just bounce that question off you. What's that?
Well,
about?
That third, there are rituals that Marina Abramovich asks people where you cut your hand and let it bleed and you feel the pain. And it sure looks to me like John Podesta is doing something like that, where he's cut his fingers over and over again. And it explains how strange and weird his hands look. And there's actually an email in the John Podesta emails that may indicate, and I can't confirm this, but that John Podesta is into heavy duty black magic. There was an email about him being in a dungeon on February 29th. I can't remember the day, but that was the second moon in the month of February. It's a very rare occurrence. And a lot of these black magicians believe that the lunar cycles have an effect upon certain rituals and power that's associated with it. They believe in this thing, moon magic. I can't say I've researched about that much, but the fact that John Podesta said he was in that moon, where there was like a, I can't remember, they call it a pink moon or something like that. It's a special color moon when it's the second moon of the month. And that would indicate that Podesta is no dabbler, that he is a heavy-duty occultist. But
okay, now, given his...
I have to go back and look at that. Yeah.
Okay. And that's fair enough. Now, given his proximity...
I can't prove that. Yeah.
You cannot prove that.
I can prove that that email exists, that
right.
email was sent. He said, I was in the dungeon, and the date was the date of the second moon of the month of February, which is a like super powerful day to occultists.
Yeah, and I recall talking with Russ Dizdar about that as well, but not in the context of Podesta. However, that's interesting. So I'm gonna go back and look. Okay, that's very interesting.
Yeah,
now,
yeah. But also, the stuff on his hands, the symbols, I've heard it explained, the fish and the 13 as the oceans, and that he's doing something for, you know, some type of, you know, he's a humanitarian type of guy. But I've also heard it referenced as some Egyptian, a representation of an Egyptian god, too, or Horus, because Horus had 13 parts, or he was cut into 13, if I remember correctly. So
Right. Very interesting.
Yeah, interesting.
Now many people may ask, well, gee, Mr. Ramsey, how does this apply to what we're seeing play out all across the world today, or even within government today, or however you want to frame it? All of this is applicable, especially given the level of compromise, the level of, you know, it's like Hotel California. You can check out, but you can never leave. And that's kind of what we're seeing, right?
Absolutely. And I think that it's part of like the occultist master plan. They know each other. Like have you seen the picture of Podesta with Lavenda, the author of the Necronomicon? That's a remarkable picture. Yeah. They're both smiling. But Lavenda, we're getting off track, but Lavenda, I mean, he wrote the Necronomicon, probably one of the most.
But he denies that. But he came
Simon.
On.
He was on Coast to Coast as Simon, same voice. So he actually copyrighted it through the Copyright Office, which you don't need to do when you write a book. You actually, copyright law protects you right away upon publication, but you can do a belt and suspenders action and actually register your book with the Copyright Office, and he registered it under his name as Simon. So that document
really
is out there. Yeah.
Well, okay. No, well, thank you for letting me know that, because we've had Peter Lavenda on as a guest in his research in the Nazi occult, the trilogy
right.
he wrote.
Yeah. Well, he's done some interesting research. Granted, it's from his perspective, but did you know he worked at the Magical Child Book occult bookstore in New York with creepy Herman Slater? Yeah. So he worked at the Magical Child. One of the interesting things that blew me away about Lavenda was, in my book, Children of the Beast, I wrote about one of Crowley's disciples or acolytes or followers, a guy by the name of McMurtry, who was expected to be the follower of Crowley. There were many assumed followers, but McMurtry was around in the United States, and he met with Lavenda. There was a party somewhere in New York with all these kind of interesting characters, the guy who wrote the X-Men books, and there's McMurtry with Lavenda. So it was pretty fascinating.
Man,
McMurtry,
can I come visit you for a week? Can I come and sit by your knee for a week, or, you know, at your feet for a week?
McMurtry sat at the foot of Crowley in Hastings as Crowley was doing tons of heroin and dying, and he was really one of the people that Crowley kind of was going to pass on his materials to.
My word. Okay. Wow, this is fascinating, and I want to thank you for this information. We only have a few minutes left here, but this has been so fascinating. Mr. Ramsey, what's on your heart, your mind, anything that we haven't covered that I think, or that you think that our audience should be aware of, or that you just simply want to tell?
Yeah, we talked last time when we talked in March, I talked about the death of a young man that was in Pittsburgh. His name was Dakota James. He was found in the water 40 days later. I've been researching these cases known as the Smiley Face Killings. My documentary will be out in early October, And it's about this string of killings of young men that's associated with the smiley face symbol. And so I would just let you, especially in the UK and the US, let your, if you look at some of the victims' pictures and you look like those people, be very self-aware when you're out at night drinking drinks. Don't get your drink drugged and stay with your friends. Even if you're not a woman, if you're a man, you are in a victim pool and you could be a victim. So I definitely would strongly caution your listeners to be aware, be very aware. So.
All right, and that's the Smiley Face Killings, the documentary coming out next month, right?
Yeah,
just to be
exactly.
clear. Okay. Yeah. Because, we've got to really promote the heck out of this because I want to see your research product. How can people best get it?
It's pretty scary. I mean, it's really amazing. And actually, the smiley face was actually at the intro to this new movie, It, the Stephen King movie. They actually included that symbol right within the first minute of that popular Stephen King movie, It. And they're kind of covering this smiley face cult in American Horror Story, season 7. They're looking at it. I haven't watched all the thing, but apparently it's very similar to the stuff I'm investigating.
Now for people to grab a hold of that copy of your documentary, how do
it'll be only digital, and it'll be available on Amazon. So it'll be on Amazon Direct. It's called Amazon Direct. So you'll be able to watch it. And I'll put out I think probably in October I'll put out a CD version, but I think I'll put it out at a reasonable price, probably $3.99. It's very long. It's 3.5 hours. It explains things in great detail. And I think my conclusions, people will be pretty surprised.
Well, I'll tell you something. I'm going to be, if there's a line forming, I'm going to be first because I really need that information. I really would need the information, your research findings, which I think are second to none. Given the especially what you just told me today during this interview about the people we've interviewed in the past, and the smiley face killings, my neck of the woods, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah,
Allegheny
absolutely.
County.
There were a number of cases there, but the more recent ones. But there were a lot of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania cases actually.
Right.
There were a lot of
right.
Philadelphia, a lot in Pittsburgh, but. And in that general vicinity, a lot of Pennsylvania cases.
This is incredible. I want to thank you for your time. We're about out of time, so I want to thank you for your time, and please come back when that video is released. I'm going to grab a hold of it, and we're just going to market the heck out of it because I think people really need to know what's going on.
I appreciate it. Yeah, that would be great. I really would appreciate it. Thank you,
Counselor. Thank you so very much. William Ramsey investigates. .com is the website. WilliamRamseyInvestigates.com. It's going to be linked off our program description. Sir, thank you. Until next time.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Yeah. God bless.
All right.
Thank you.
Stay safe. Folks, what an incredible expose. You know, you out there, the listeners, the viewers, you think, well, maybe what happened to Pizzagate? Oh, that's fake news. Right? No. Perhaps improperly characterized and named, you know, Pizzagate. But it's not. And I will tell you this. Let me explain something to you. We, the Hagman Report, are paying a price to investigate this. Now, this is not, I'm not saying this for any other reason than to let others in the alternative or honest media know that when you start poking at this bear, and you start doing what Mr. Ramsey does, and you start doing what we do, there's a price to be paid. Now, I'm not talking about just looking into the abyss and having the abyss look back and envelop you, although that does happen. You don't want to be staring down there too long, let me tell you. However, in a legal sense, you're putting your tush on the line. And I could tell you one of the last papers, last filings on the legal suit that in which Steve Quayle and I find ourselves defendants on, multi-million-dollar legal suit, two words appeared on that page that just jumped out at me. Three words, actually. Pizzagate and fake news. Why do I say that? Again, you start poking at this bear, and you start talking about this kind of thing, you're drawing a target on your back. But if not us, who? If we don't do this, if we don't address this, who will? And for as much as one can say, well, this really isn't important, I believe it's extremely important. As we look back and we look at the evolution of evil. And this is what we're talking about, isn't it? Evil, pure evil. Aleister Crowley evil. And you heard what Mr. Ramsey said about it. Don't get me started about clowns. How many people have, you know, clowns? Enough said there, right? Stephen King, clowns, it, smiley face, enough said. But all of this, the spirit cooking, the occult elite, the drivers of action, and it doesn't matter what you believe, it doesn't matter what I believe, the driver, belief is their driver of action. Just as I started out the program with, you know, I started out the program talking about the take a knee, the in defiance of President Donald Trump. People will look at that and say, this is what it symbolizes. This is what it means. Wait a second. Think deeper. Go a little bit deeper. Because what we're seeing there is the, in my view anyway, in my analysis, based on my research, is not what you think it is. It goes much deeper. And as I had mentioned in the first segment, Charles Sasser writes about it. David Kapelian has written about it. William Murray has written about it. All at the WND Superstore. Crushing the Collective. The Snapping of the American Mind. Utopian Road to Hell. Those titles. Says it all. And now, you overlay the occult. And yes, you know, there will be conservatives out there. Mouthy Christian conservatives, snippy, saying, you know, Doug Hagman is just he's an idiot. He's looking for Sasquatch. It's ridiculous. But that's done to discredit. But you overlay the William Ramsey publications, such as Abomination, such as Children of the Beast. And now suddenly things start to kind of come in perspective. The focus is just a little bit more fine-tuned. And that's where I'd like to direct everyone's attention, because at this, look, at the end of the day, right now, at the end of the day, where we're at today, what is driving everything? It's not pure emotion, although there is that. And it's not the advent and facilitation and ease of use of social networking and devices, although there is that. And it's not the unpopularity, the politics as usual, of Donald Trump as a whiplash from the cultural cancer, the moral cancer of Barack Obama. Although there is that. It's everything. It's the collection of it all. And at the end of that is evil. It's not, there's nothing else. You can't hide it. It's evil. And I find it very interesting that many people cannot recognize, are not recognizing. They're seeing the symptoms. They're seeing the lesions on the body, but they're not recognizing what's causing those lesions. They're not recognizing what is really pushing this. And that's pure evil. And I think a lot can be said, and a lot has been said, about evil in today's society. But not much has been done about it. And many people will back away from it. Many people will back away from topics like Pizzagate. Now, I want to clarify one thing. when Mr. Ramsey was talking. You know, many will say that Alex Jones backed away from Pizzagate. He did not. He did not do that. And he was taken out of context. And it was more Pizzagate being misdefined. Now, I'm not speaking on behalf of Alex Jones. I am saying I support him in his in how he did that. But it's like me. Sometimes I'm not as articulate. A lot of times, most of the time, I'm not as articulate as I should be. But that's what that was all about. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It doesn't mean that you're backing away from it. It means that you've got to redefine the essence of the investigation, and that's what he has done, and that's what he did. And I give him a lot of credit for doing so and for pressing forward with that, because the evil occult elite, if you look at the occult elite, Pizzagate, Pettigate, Aleister Crowley, the Epstein, Lolita Express, the Clintons, the beliefs of Hillary Clinton. Remember the yoga comments? Think about the yoga comments too. The Eastern mysticism. And you know that communism, what's the religion of communism? And many people will say, well, it's atheism because communism is without God. I would stipulate that that's not correct. The God of communism is really, in my view, the devil himself. And I think that I think we have to really understand that. And we don't have time. I don't have time to get to finish that whole dissertation on that. But it would be good to definitely get a hold of Abomination by William Ramsey, and of course, Children of the Beast, a very enlightening book by William Ramsey. And we're going to have him back on when he releases the Smiley Face Killings documentary. That's going to be a fascinating, and I mean a fascinating, subject in my backyard. As a matter of fact, we're going to have Russ Dizdar on talking about it as well. Tomorrow, Stan Dale is going to be, actually tomorrow we have a schedule change, Stan Dale from 7 to 8, followed by Rabbi Jonathan Kahn from 8 to 10. Oh, we're going to hear from Jonathan Kahn, 8 to 10. So you're hearing it first now. Stan Dale was kind enough to switch the times. So he's going to be on the first hour tomorrow night, and Jonathan Kahn, hours 2 and 3. That's tomorrow on the Hagman Report. So tune in. And then, of course, my program, 9 to 10. And Joe and John's from 2 to 3 tomorrow as well. And by the way, those people who, the five books I sent out, the five books, you should be getting those in a couple of days. Those were with Stan Dale last week. So let me know how you think. Let me know what you think of the book itself, Stained by Blood, when you get it. So if you don't have it now, you should have it the next day or two. That'll do it for me tonight on the Hagman Report. Again, Joe was absent. Actually, had to leave because of a broken pipe, but he'll be back tomorrow, unless he's floating. And but it's also interesting to keep the people in Puerto Rico in your prayers. Lexi Best did a great job of outlining that situation and raising some questions, and I think we have to ask the same questions. What's happening there? 3 million people knocked back to the Stone Age, basically, by not one but two, essentially two hurricanes. So keep those people in your prayers, and let's make sure we get something done there. And support Coach Dave Dobmeier, Past Assault Ministries, CoachDaveLive.com, in his relief efforts down in Texas. Until tomorrow, stay safe. God bless. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching.